With the arrival of quality musicians in the late 20s, the Montmartre Quarter rapidly transformed into a jazz mecca. The cabarets and bars all featured black and mostly black jazz bands or West Indian music. With tolerant law enforcement, an influx of African-American musicians, and the best jazz in Europe, Montmartre became a world-class entertainment destination second to none. The clubs, cabarets, and music drew a smart international set of the rich and royal. For a while, it boasted the most vibrant nightlife on the globe, which in turn drew even more African-American musicians, skilled or not, to Harlem and Montmartre.
It was a thrilling, wide-open town,
recalled trumpet player Bill Coleman in his autobiography.
Paris had everything that New York had, and then some. The cafes, the bars stayed open 24 hours a day. Living was not expensive, the people were friendly, and a jazz musician was considered a human being.
Zelly's was the highest profile jazz venue in Paris, and a wild, boozy club. Hiring musicians was done by Gene Bullard, a big personality in the community.
People felt they had to come to Zelly's. It was the only place in Paris that was open all night, and everybody who was anybody went there.
Bullard played the drums at Zelly's, though not very well, even by his own admission. The former boxing champion and first World War air ace was a big man about town. He served as a kind of informal counselor and enforcer at large for African Americans in Montmartre. Later, writing nostalgically of that time, he noted the passing of his friends.
So many of them have died. I hope not from my drumming.
Big Boy was playing saxophone at Zelly's from about 1927 to 30, amidst other work. And besides Big Boy and Bullard on drums, the band usually consisted of trumpeter Cricket Smith, who'd been in Paris quite a while, and Glover Compton, a formidable ragtime and stride pianist in the Willie the Lion mold. Here's a little bit of scandalous detail about Zelly's, because there was kind of a scam going on. It was successful partly because it was what Americans in those days called a clip joint. You see, there were girls who were surreptitiously employed by the club to induce patrons to buy maybe just a little bit more champagne than they otherwise might. So after the first bottle, girls were paid a cut for each additional bottle. Needless to say, a great deal of champagne was consumed. By about 1930, Bricktop's Cabaret was the main attraction in Montmartre for a chic international set of celebrities, writers, and royals. And it was novelist Ernest Hemingway who called her cabaret the movable feast that was Paris between the wars. Bricktop, born Ada Beatrice, Queen Victoria, Louise Virginia Smith, was a mixed-race American cabaret singer with a face full of freckles and shocking red hair. Her cabaret drew songwriters Cole Porter and Noel Coward, writer F. Scott Fitzgerald, and the Prince of Wales. Visiting jazz royalty Louis Armstrong and Fats Waller dropped in. And Bricktops was the first in Paris to headline the string jazz of Django, Grappelli, and the quintet of the Hot Club of France. The singer and barkeep had a unique talent for creating an intimate cabaret atmosphere.
Bricktop sang in a cute little voice with nice, wistful tones.
Langston Hughes, the poet laureate of the Harlem Renaissance, described her unique way of creating rapport with her clientele.
She danced a few cute little steps, tossed her head and smiled, and went around to all the tables and was pleasant to everybody, from guests who could afford only one quart of champagne to those who bought a dozen bottles. French or American, tourist or diplomat, white or color, were all the same to Brick.